Welcome to another episode of Mike Checker, where we talk with dope people that are doing dope things. This one is a dope episode. This is somebody, I would describe it as a Renaissance-esque a woman here. From mental health to apps, and not apps about mental health. So it's a different thing, and it's pretty dope with her company, Get Good Ice. Which at first I remember she told me when we went out to eat, and yeah. I was like, really? Like it was perplexing to me to even understand the concept. Then I was like, damn, people really are on this. Hmm. So I've got my homegirl Marshall joining us on My Checker. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm excited. This is my first podcast. So, trying to get my feet wet.
Good to do it with
someone that you know.
Yeah, yes. I mean, she went to Texas Tech. I won't hold that against her, you know, or anything like that.
That's way, way, way back.
Still, hey, look, it is what it is. But let's start from the beginning of your story. So you grew up in Dallas, right?
So actually, I was born in Houston, but don't ask me too much about that.
Okay.
I was in Houston until about 12, and then I moved up here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So I went to school and finished high school in the Grapevine Colleyville district.
Okay.
So finished from Colleyville Heritage High School at 16, and then went to.
You finished school early?
I did.
Why did you finish early? Was it just?
So I was able to get enough credits from like summer school. They're like, if you take this English class and this other class in the summer, then you'll be able to finish soon. And there was nothing else I wanted to do where I need to stay another year. I thought about drill team, but that wasn't my life. So
you went to college a year like a year early?
Yeah, so I finished at 16 and then I turned 17 in August and went to a community college in San Antonio and stayed with my grandmother for a year. And then I went to Texas Tech.
Okay, that's better transitioning because one of my homeboys, he was 16 starting in college. Mm. So like literally he was 16 with like grown ass 19-year-olds in a lecture hall, you know.
And I thought I was kind of grown. Like my grandmother let me ride around her Cadillac Coupe de Ville. So I'm pulling up to campus in that, you know, thinking I'm grown. I worked for the church that she attended to get some money. Just kind of learning different things. But it was definitely a good transition to be at a community college first and figure things out before going to a larger university way out in Lubbock, figuring that out. But yeah, made that transition.
So what made you decide to go to Tech and from that community college then go to Tech?
So Texas Tech was further enough away where I could get home, but then my parents couldn't just pop up.
Okay.
that was my rationale as a young person. Like, I want to get away, but I also don't want to be too far away.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So did that. I got my undergrad in biology. I thought I was going to do pre-med. And realized I didn't want to deal with blood and bodily fluids like that.
I mean, that's the main purpose of being a doctor.
Yeah, wasn't feeling that. And so after that, I learned about the healthcare administration side. So I went and got my MBA in health organization management. So knocked those two degrees out, thought I was going to take over.
Was that at Tech too? Did you stay at Tech? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did. So I did those first two degrees there and then went off into the world and saw what it really was about. And it wasn't what I thought. You know, you learn some things.
Meaning what do you mean by that?
So when I came out, I thought I was going to make a certain amount of money. I was going to be in a corporate office wearing like a sensible suit.
You thought it was going to be like Boomerang.
I really did. I really thought I was going to have shoulder pads in my suit. You know, I was ready to take over, be in the C-suite. I'm going to be like CEO, you know, taking over. That wasn't my life either, I learned. So I had a few jobs I worked with. A couple of healthcare companies. I worked for a nonprofit like United Way. So did that kind of work, helping fundraising and doing things. I actually ended up moving to Austin for 10 years and lived there for a bit, kind of tried to build up my career and see where it would go. It just, I don't know, it took some different turns and then the recession hit. So,
oh, wait.
Yes. So I was working for United Way then. They laid me off and I was like, so now what? Everyone else was laid off too, so I didn't feel too weird about it, but you don't expect those things to happen. Mm-hmm. So during the layoff, I was like, what do I want to do with my life? What I recalled is that when I was an undergrad at Tech, my psychology class was something I actually remembered and enjoyed. weird thing, you know, a lot of the things I did at Tech, you know, I pledged, I joined organizations, I kicked it, you know, learned a lot about myself. But class-wise, I was just taking them and passing them. That's what you're supposed to do. But my psychology class, I was like, huh. And I noticed that the type of person that I am and how my friends would describe me is the strong friend, the one that they can vent to. I'm like their, you know, human diary they can put all their secrets into. I was like, well, maybe I should look into mental health, being a therapist, you know, getting paid for what I do naturally. And then I enrolled into a school, Capella University. It was accredited, had what I needed, started that program. And when I got into it in 2011, I was like, this is great. I enjoyed learning everything. I wasn't bored at all. And that let me know that I was on the right path. So it's nice when you kind of go into what you're supposed to do. And went through that whole process, took some time, got kind of broke for a little bit.
I mean, you're going to school for advanced degrees like that, you're going to be broke. That's just
the debt and the fact that I couldn't, you know, hold down a job in certain parts of it for the internship. I was living off savings, you know, knowing that I would get to a certain point money-wise, you know, whenever, but it was worth it. So then finished that degree in 2014. Got fully licensed at the end of 2016. So I have my full LPC here in Texas and started working in like psych hospitals. I have lots of stories about working in psych hospitals.
Oh, hold on. Yes. You were in the wow. So you were with people that was all kind of ranges from being schizophrenic all yes. the way to people with like manic and
yes,
you know,
and
everything.
Seeing
like
them
that.
In that space too, like, you know, you see straight jackets on TV and you're like, oh, they used to do that. No, they still do that.
So it's like One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, it was definitely that. So coming in, you know, and funny thing, like they would bring people into the intake area, straight jackets, the police got them, you know, handcuffs or whatever. And then they would take all that off and leave them there. And all I have is what they call SOMA training, which is basically kind of like, you know, moving with the person, not really harming them. I'm like, well, if the police have them in straight jackets and handcuffs, right. What am I supposed to do with this little SOMA training trying to de-escalate the situation? Lots of crazy things that have happened. I mean, I worked in a hospital for about 6 months and ended up moving on to a health insurance company. But what kind of triggered that transition is, you know, a very dangerous situation happened in this hospital. Mm. A patient came in and actually had a loaded gun.
Hold on, but how do you get a loaded gun into, if you have a straitjacket, so you know, all those different restraints?
That person didn't have a straitjacket on. That person just came in to be, you know, interviewed and assessed for what's going on. And so I'm asking the questions like, you know, do you mean it when you say you want to be violent towards this person? You know, he's like, yeah. Okay, write it down. So do you mean it when you say these things? Yeah, I mean it. Just sitting back, I'm like, well.
Was it just one person? Is it just like one person? Or was it like certain types of people, like not like a serial killer, but like, was it like one person, like, I don't like Chris. I just want him to die and I'll be like, okay.
It was like in general, and it was toward the family members.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's different. I was thinking it was like, I was like, no, that's just a beef.
If you're right. I just
wanted Chris to die.
No, that I can understand. Like, okay, that's life you live in. But no, it was like towards family members, you know, wanting to do violence. And so based on our assessment, I was like, well, this person needs to stay. And be admitted. So I turned all that in and everything and passed it on because it was like the end of my shift. So after that shift ended, I'm like, whew, you know, I'm going home. Great. In the morning, I got a phone call from a coworker and they're like, so, you know, that person had a loaded gun on them. I go, the person that I was interviewing, the person who I said had to stay, could have just ended everything.
Were they cool with you? Were they pretty laid back, like chilling, or were they?
I don't know. There was agitation, but I think I was just in the midst of working and getting things done. It was the end of my shift. It was like towards 11 o'clock at night. I'm tired. You know, let me process this, pass it on and move. So my thoughts were, you know, they come in, they get, you know, checked for certain things. Sometimes stuff gets missed. I mean, I've had people bring in things where they end up cutting themselves. You know, stuff can get missed. And when that person said that there was an actual like loaded gun, and I'm in the space with a person, I was like, let me figure out what I want to do that's not so dangerous.
You
know? Mm. But I learned a lot.
So did you see anybody where you were like, man, like they don't seem like they would be crazy at all, but like they, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So
I mean, I don't want to say crazy. I don't like saying crazy and everything because I've been going to therapy either, for actually. A while, and I know yeah. I'm crazy. Real, like, not crazy, but like, you know, I have a mental
word because people ask, like, am I crazy? I'm like, well, I don't want to use that the C word, but
yeah,
you may have some stuff going on. But there were some people who came in. So one example in the hospital, there was a 5-year-old girl. She looked like Dora the Explorer. She was so cute. And I was like, what are you in here for? She was like, well, yeah, I tried to stab my uncle. And I'm like, why? But when she told me what happened with her uncle, it did to her, I was like, you know what? Understandable. But to be in that position as a young girl needing to defend herself because her uncle was just violating her rights, but she's the one in this hospital. I was like, dang, so you just never know. And then another side is I worked with those who were, it's the psychiatric intensive care unit. And they're, you know, those who are schizophrenic, who are exhibiting those, you know, hallucinations and paranoia. They were so much fun. Let me tell you, working with them, loved hanging out with them. I would go in there and do group sessions and, you know, I'd ask people, how do we talk about boundaries? How we do these things? And, you know, I don't know if they're hearing other stuff, but they looked like they were paying attention. But I noticed that when they're exhibiting certain symptoms, like one patient in particular, he would respond, but his tone was how we're talking now, you know, hey, how you doing, whatever, but the word, the word didn't match the tone. So if I said, you know, hey, so-and-so, how are you feeling today? He was like, you know, in the Beetlejuice around the corner, I felt that, you know, the beer guns was going to fly the coop. And I'm like,
you're like, oh, really?
So I'm like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. So I was like, I don't know where these other words came from, but the tone was communicating that he was okay. But it was interesting to work with those who just had all levels of stuff going on.
So just did you see them being people that would could be helped and be like back into society on some general basis, or is it where they needed to be? Like, so I have a pair of twin cousins, Brian and Alan. They were literally, like, nobody understood that they were schizophrenic when we were younger. It'd be like, because they were super, I mean, I'm talking about two fly dudes in high school, played football, yeah. They went to Howard,
yeah.
They pledged fraternity, and then, like, all of a sudden at 2021, they both just dropped out and went to the Navy for no reason, and just went to the Navy. And the thing that was their saving grace was them going to the Navy actually saved them, because the Navy didn't do no psycho evaluation on someone. They ended up and being diagnosed with schizophrenia, the government had to take care of them because
they were in the military. Oh, wow.
So one of them is totally committed,
yeah,
because he won't take any pills or anything. The other one is in jail now because he was taking pills and being fine, but it was like weird hanging out with him. And then he supposedly raped a girl randomly one night, maybe this round 2008, 2009, in Pennsylvania, but he lived in California. So it was like, like, why was you in Pennsylvania? Like,
with schizophrenia, and then also if there's other conditions going on. So schizophrenia, and then there, you know, like bipolar one, so where you have like these highs and lows and you just up and do things. So with bipolar one, I feel that, you know, that with medication and understanding what's going on can be managed in a different way. But when you have schizophrenia, like, you're hearing things and seeing things and feeling things that is so real to you. So to be in Pennsylvania when you live in another place, something happened and you're just there. You know, something told you, you know, you heard something, you believe something, and you end up in these situations. And when I worked with those who had early onset schizophrenia, just understanding like what goes on, like I would ask them specifically, so whenever you hear a voice, let me know. And a couple of the patients would say, okay, I heard you just tell me that I was, you know, a good for nothing so-and-so. And I'm like,
wow.
They're like, yeah. I was like, do you know that I didn't say that? And they're like, I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been around some patients where I had to actually, well, clients where I had to go in their homes and not knowing when something was going to go off, when they were going to exhibit these things. So I've been in some, you know, serious situations with people trying to offer help and see what's going on. But I had this curiosity to know, what is it like for you? You know, what is it like to feel that spiders are coming out of your skin?
So is it true that it is on, like, you can't, like, people will be normal until like a certain age and it just like a flips?
Yeah. So,
and it's an interesting one, like, people used to, like, one of my homeboys from high school, he went down to school in Florida And then, like, one night they was hanging out in Miami, and, like, he just started his schizophrenia. But the people were then, now I understand, but then they were like, man, he had some bad weed. Hmm. That was the whole, that's what everybody said for years, you know what I'm saying? But now, being, you know, understanding and reading about it, you're like, oh, no, he started his schizophrenia then. Like, that's when he was, because like, he had some bad weed, and he was never the same. Like,
yes,
I doubt that. Like,
I had a relationship with someone, and their stuff exhibited around that time, and it was possibly attributed to the weed. And I was like, well, you know, if other people had partaken and they didn't have these symptoms.
Right.
What's really going on? And then to find out that that's what was going on, it's usually around their early 20s when it's
Okay, so that is true. It's early. Mm-hmm. Is it? It's more prevalent in men too, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Is there a reason why that is, or
that I'm not sure. I don't know if that's due with, you know, hormone makeup or anything like that, but men exhibit this, and then, you know, if it's women, because I did work with women who had these symptoms as well. I don't know if they're able to hide it differently or presents differently, I'm not sure. And then you have to think about, you know, the research was done on a certain population. So to know how things go, like even with like autism, you know, women, you know, females having those symptoms, they weren't really recognized as well. There was no research to support how it comes about in women.
Mm.
Yeah.
So then after the hospital, you end up going into the healthcare field.
Yeah, I worked for a large insurance company, and I wanted to be on the business side of things. So I started off as a social worker there, working member-facing people who had, you know, chronic illnesses, so diabetes mainly, those who had chronic pain, those who were dealing with, you know, cancer diagnosis. So being there to support them, provide resources, that kind of information, visiting their house, seeing what's going on. And then I moved to the business side where I wanted to learn project management and do some other things, you know, just trying to pull all my stuff together. I have this MBA, I have this license, you know, clinical license. Let me put all this together. And after a while, I was like, you know what? I'm still seeing clients on the side. Like, I've had a private practice part-time since 2017.
So what kind of people are you seeing on the side? Like, what are their, that is general, is this general therapy or is it?
Yeah, it's okay. General therapy. I see clients from age 12, depending on maturity, on up. So
most common problem you see in like just the regular?
People thinking that their life was going to turn out one way and it isn't, and they don't know what to do now.
Mm.
Across the board, just, I thought it was supposed to be this and I was handling things and I don't know why I'm not able to do that now.
Wow. So as I call it, the boogeyman, like not knowing of like, wow, like I'm here now.
Right, you know,
I thought I was going to be in boomerang with the shoulder pads on.
Exactly. And now this is not working out. So what do I do now? No one told me. And then the quarter life crisis happens. So you hit 30 and you're just like, oh, I'm not doing what I thought I was supposed to do. I was supposed to be married with kids and do this and travel and have all this money and make six figures by 30. And no one was telling them what to do at 31, 32. Like, your life is not over. And if you didn't accomplish these things by 30, doesn't mean your life is over, that you haven't been successful, that you can't be successful.
It's more that personal reflection that they're having.
Definitely. And not having the luxury of being able to learn yourself. I tell clients all the time, why not be an expert in you? And I hope that when they come to me, that they have a chance to have that space. I tell them, you know, it's a luxury to be able to sit down for an hour with someone and just really talk about you and learn you and put connections together that you, may just have overlooked or assumed that you could just get by, and it weighs on you and it plays out in depression. It plays out in, you know, anxiety about what's to come, feeling regrets about things, feeling like you're not, the comparison syndrome. So feeling that you're not up to par with others around you. And I tell my clients, I'm like, no one has to figure it out.
Yeah, zero. That's what a therapist says to me. Her main thing is, like, she's always telling me, like, make sure that you keep this going in this mental side, because you would make rash decisions just because it's like, oh, you know what? Oh, I'm just scared about all this. I'm just going, now I'm gonna move to Colorado and become a lumberjack.
Right, like, you know, like, this is what I should do. And you're like, wait, you know, so helping clients, you know, figure out what they really want and what does it mean when they respond a certain way to things. So I help them go through like a response cycle. So an event happens and there's that immediate response to it. So how do we slow it down and kind of process and work through what happens after that event? How did you feel? What did you do? How did you feel after you did that? And then what's keeping you going back through that cycle? So
have you had a client where they were like, they're not gonna do none of this shit. Like they just, I mean, I don't even know why you even paying for this. You're not trying to do no work.
I have some clients, like, they come back, they're like, I didn't do my homework. I'm like, well, we're going to do it now. But I tell them that, you know, nothing against you if you do it or you don't. It still tells me something if they don't. But other clients, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe they just want to talk to someone. Either way, I'm going to be intentional about what I'm doing. I'm here to work.
Right.
So, you know, you're paying me. This is your space. I'm going to be intentional about, you know, what I'm asking, what I'm doing. I've had clients who are like, I don't have anything to talk about. And I'm like, well, I do. Let's talk about this. You know, you mentioned this 3 weeks ago. Let's bring it back. And they're like, oh, I was like, I came here to work.
So you haven't had a client who's like, I can't work with them.
You know, I've had clients where I was like, I don't know how long I'll be able to work with them. But then something happens, a question is asked, or they feel comfortable with me and they're like, hey, I want to talk about this. I'm like, let's go for it. And then we've been able to keep working with each other. A lot of my clients I've had for at least a year.
Okay. Because okay. My therapist, she says that she will drop a client if they, okay, y'all know these spectrums or whatever, like the, was it type 1, 2, and 3 or something? Or like with like NPD and like sociopathy. And mm-hmm. She's like, if she sees anyone displaying a lot of those, she'll like drop them.
Yeah.
Or refer them to someone else because she's like, she doesn't want to take on the energy of someone just being there, just being there and like to act like it.
There are some diagnoses that will definitely be a challenge. So like, so those who have borderline personality disorder,
right?
That can be a challenge. And I've worked with several and I've come to a way to work with them that they may not have recognized before. I had a client and they were like, I already did the book for dialectical behavioral therapy. She's like, I already worked through that book. I'm like, you're not supposed to work it by yourself.
So, working on the book on their own. Just
yeah, I was like, I appreciate your enthusiasm.
that's hilarious.
That's not how you're supposed to do it. You understand?
Wow.
So, and then, you know, people on their own, they'll kind of fall off and come. I've had clients fall off and they're like, hey, I worked with you a year ago. I'd like to come back. And I'm like, okay, but you know, are you ready to work? What's going on? So I kind of keep things open and, you know, people want to come back and there's room in the practice. I'm accepting clients now.
You talked about before we went on that you're switching off to do it as a full-time thing, you know, potentially.
And I haven't told my company yet. So,
you know. Oh, well, then, you know, I'll bleep that out on the back end.
They're going to find out. But yeah, I'm looking to do that full-time. Like I said, I've been working this practice part-time with the jobs that I had. So I would see about 10 to 12 clients a week on top of working 40 hours a week. And over the years, it's like, I really enjoy this so much more. You know, so much more. And I want to keep doing this and making that change over. So I have my little IG up for my practice. My practice is Accedence Counseling.
And so how do they spell it for that people can follow it?
Oh, Accedence. It's Accedence Counseling. So accedencecounseling.com. It's Accedence Counseling on Instagram. And accede has a meaning, you know, for me, and people call it accidents. It's not pronounced accident. So to accede is to, you know, move to the next level, to have, you know, integrity in the moves that you do. So I have like the definitions that really spoke to me, why I named my practice that, on my IG page. So I want people to come in, feel comfortable. I tell my clients I am casual, but intentional. Like how we're having a conversation now, that's how I talk to my clients. Like I may have a head wrap on when they see me online. I'm chilling, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go work after that. And they're like, oh, I talked about working out. Like I'm doing these things too. I'm a real person, but I am here to make sure that whatever time you spend with me, you feel that you're moving towards your goals.
Mm. So you're doing more online. Was that before COVID, were you doing a lot more online or was it because of COVID?
Well, COVID, yeah. And this made it a little bit easier. So I can see clients from all over Texas now, which is great.
That's a good question. So you couldn't take someone from another state then? Is that because?
No, I'm not licensed. I want to get licensed in other states. So I'm looking at Colorado, Michigan, and maybe California. So there's some states that have shortages of therapists. And so if they're willing to accept me, maybe fast track the licensure, I'd like to have that because I have certain goals of what my practice would look like. And it wouldn't just be me as a therapist. I want to have people under me. I'd like to work with those who are transitioning older loved ones to a nursing facility. There's a lot of emotions involved with feeling guilty that you're putting, you know, grandma in a home, but she needs that type of care. I've experienced that with both of my grandmothers who are both passed away, but my dad's mom had Alzheimer's. And so seeing all of that happen and what he had to go through, you know, putting her in a home, and she got kicked out the home because she was, you know, throwing throwing bows in the club. I was like, I don't know, that's not my grams, but she's fighting women. And I'm like, what is going on? And then my other grandmother, she was in a home. She was had her, you know, her mind to her, but just very sick and, you know, passing away in there. And how my mom was like, did I do enough? Was I there enough? What's going on? And, you know, but to have the family members get some therapy as well, like, you're making the right choice. You know, have you looked into certain things? You know, how are you feeling doing this? You know, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm probably on the wrong person talking. I tell my daughter all the time, I'll be like, yo, you know what? Don't put me in a home. This is why you were daddy all the time. For you won't put me in a home. I'm going to be it when you get married. I'm going to be there too.
Earn your place. Like, give me a little she shed in the back, you know, or something.
Look, no. I need to be, I'm going to be posted. Like, I'm talking about when y'all go to a different crib, I'm coming too, though.
Look, you got at a room in the house with them.
I'm going to be like the mother, you know what I'm saying? That's like, hey, so what house we getting?
We get you a tiny house.
No, what house we getting?
See, my mom would try to tell me that, like, I'm moving with you. And I'd be like, I'm so sad about that. She makes fun of me all the time. It's like, you would cry every time I said that. I was like, because I want to live alone. Like, let me have this. I don't bother you.
No, I told her, that's why you are with me, is because I need to not be in a home. Like, you know, this is a further investment.
No, I know.
And she just laughs. She don't give. She don't care.
Yes. Like, well, and then when she gets older, she'll be like, oh, wait, he might be serious. I don't know.
Yeah. I try to instill it in her all the time. Just like I tell her to make sure that she knows I'm the coolest dad ever. Like well, I want that to cool stay in her dad. Head. Yeah. No, but I want her to know that. She thinks I'm not cool, though.
She'll find out.
She'll be like, oh my God, daddy. Oh my God. This is just,
you need to find another example and be like, see, I don't do that.
And you got a daddy, you know, saying, barely walking up in there. You know, your dad cool. Your dad still can get down and kick it and hang out.
Yes. She'll find out. It's important to know.
Now I'm not the cool dad, though. I'm just the one that embarrasses in front of her friends and stuff. Like, she'll push me.
Oh, that's the wrong cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
That's the wrong quote.
Yeah. So how did we get to the get good ice like that? Like, I mean, you talked to me about it, but like for everybody else that they can understand.
So I don't know if you know people who really love like Sonic Ice, that good crush ice, that Bahama Bucks type ice, that shaved snow, just something about it. And people like different textures and things like that. I prefer.
I didn't know that this all was happening. Like when I told her, I was like, I did not even know.
It's a whole thing. So people who have cravings for ice and things that have no nutritional value, that condition is called pica. And so you ever have women who are like, I need some dirt, or they want to eat, you know, laundry detergent, things like that. Have you seen My Strange Addiction?
Yeah, I've seen random things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So when people want to eat things that don't have, you know, any nutritional value, that's called pica. Also associated with that is anemia. So with the ice craving, having low iron, that plays into it. It's a symptom of it. And over the years, I just found myself wanting to eat ice all the time. And it was like a stress reliever. Some people need their Starbucks and their coffee in the morning. I need a cup of ice. I crunch on it. I shiver a bit. I have a space heater right now to keep my temperature balanced. Just kind of even everything out so I can enjoy it. And I was like, what is going on? And so I got my blood levels checked, and it was like, you have very low iron, not to the level of getting a transfusion, but my iron levels were low. So I was like, oh, that's what's going on. So I would take the supplements and see how things worked, and my craving would, you know, change, but still, I still enjoy it. And I didn't want to be stigmatized or, you know, made fun of because I have this thing that I enjoy, when no one's making fun of someone who drinks coffee or smokes cigarettes or whatever. But then as I was getting ice, I realized there's places that have it that I don't know about. I'm tired of going to Sonic. You know, then I learned about like a Raising Cane's or a Golden Chicken. People would start telling me where this ice was. I'm like, okay, good to know. And when I would travel, I'm like, where do I find it here? If there's no Chick-fil-A, if there's no Sonic nearby, who's selling this? I need to know where it is. So I thought of, it would be really cool if there was an app where when I go travel overseas or in another state, where I could look up where this ice is. And another thing that got to me, I would go to Quick Trip. Y'all Quick Trip out there?
Oh, you know, Quick Trip is one around the corner from me. I love Quick Trip.
So Quick Trip crush.
They know my daughter at the Quick Trip.
Yes. So I'm pulling up in there, getting cups of ice like it's nothing. Like they know me at the Quick Trips. But sometimes I walk in there and that machine would be broken and I would be heartbroken. I walk in there and see the little orange sticker saying out of service. I'm like, well, what do I do now? I wish I had known before I pulled up that this machine was broken. So I'm like, in my app, I need people to tell me this. And I need the community of people to give me this information. I can't do it by myself. So I was like, let me figure this out. And I would tell people about it. I'm like, I'm gonna make an app. And they're like, that would be kind of cool, I guess.
So it's kind of like when you have a map, when the map and it says like add here if there's construction or something like that to the, to the Google Maps.
It's based off of Waze. So Waze lets you know when there's a cop on the road or, you know, a car on the shoulder type thing. I'm like, I want to know this information too in real time as much as possible. I need it to be based on GPS. I need it to have, you know, locations pop up that have been rated by other people. I needed all of this information in my hand because I'm trying to be in these streets. I'm trying to travel. I need to get my fix taken care of. And I also want to learn new places. So in different regions, you know, with our followers, we've learned that there's Wegmans and Publix and some other places that we're hearing about. I'm like, oh, I want to go there and check out their ice. And they'll show pictures of it. I'm like, yes, this is amazing. So I wanted to bring the community of people together who love ice and also provide a service to them through the app. So if they're out and about, they can learn about what's going on. They may come to Texas and say, oh, let me go hit up this place because I saw it on the Get Good Ice app.
Have you got any partnerships with different places potentially to update on their own? Like well, we're out of ice. Let me update it on the Get Ice app.
I want to. So it would be great to partner with like the Quick Trip and to partner with other companies. So we're doing some reaching out. I have my marketing manager, Jalandra. She's gonna work on these things and we want to get, you know, the community more engaged. So there's some Facebook groups. So there's like for ice eaters only on Facebook.
See, I wouldn't even know that these.
Let me tell you, my marketing manager is like, there's way too much about ice going on here. She's like, I feel like I'm looking at a fetish situation.
You like, know, I would never known it. Like I never would.
The whole thing. People are doing ASMR videos, crunching on ice biscuits and ice donuts. They know how to take carbonated water and freeze it and make their own crushed ice at home. There's ice machines that you can buy that'll make sonic ice, which oh yeah, so I can have sonic ice at home all day every day if I want to invest this money.
How much is it? Pretty expensive.
It's like $400.
I mean, if you love ice, you might want,
you know, I probably spend that much going to get these bags of ice because I got two bags today from Sonic before I got on here.
So you can go to Sonic and buy their ice in bags.
10-pound bags. And I got two, you know, I like it like that.
I would have never, this is something, I didn't know that you could do.
Chick-fil-A sells it by the bag. Golden Chick sells it by the bag. Brahm sells it by the bag. QT said I could come in there and use one of their bags and do the crushed ice versus the cubed ice that they have if I wanted to. I just ask questions.
Well, this is like you've been to In-N-Out. This is like finding out about the secret menu at In-N-Out.
Right.
Like, yes. I didn't even know you could do that.
So I've learned about the types of ice. So ice is a registered food. So, you know, it's government, you know, registered as a food. And so the companies who make this type of, make ice and everything like that, they're putting it out there. But those who love it know the difference. So there's been polls out there. What do you prefer? You know, some people like it soft so they can eat it with a spoon, like a Bahama Bucks. Others like the Sonic Ice, which is called Nugget Ice. And Sonic Ice was created by Scotsman in 1981. Yeah, so this Nugget Ice was invented in 1981 by an ice maker brand.
So are there like places on the app where it's like, man, don't go here to Chuck's truck stop. This ice is terrible.
I want people to put that on there. That's the point. So that when someone pulls up, they know like, okay, there's only regular cubed ice here. Or again, like the machine is broken or this ice has a funny little taste to it. I want people to put this information in there so that others are informed. On the Facebook groups, people are like, hey, I'm in, you know, Chicago. Where can I get this type of ice? Or, hey, I'm in this little small town here. Does anyone know? And I'm like, hey, put it on the app if you find it, please, because others want to know.
I did not notice it existed at all. This is just
the whole thing.
I mean, it's because I looked it up before this interview, and I was like, it's full communities, like for real, like that that are out there for this. And I'm like, I feel like I missed a part of the world. Like,
but everyone knows a person who eats ice all the time.
My mother is like that.
See, And so she might be like, I need my eyes, I need this. Now, what kind of eyes does she like?
Look, I don't know. She downloaded your app because I told her about it like like weeks ago or whatever, like long time ago. I told her, and she was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah," because she's down in Houston. So, and I have no idea what it is. I didn't know it was it. But she was like, "Yeah, like you know," and I was like, "You eat ass all the time. This is app." She's like, "Oh wow, okay." Let me download.
I tell people all the time, I'll pull up at Sonic, and they're like, "Oh, you like the ice?" I'm like, "Yes." And if you like it too, here, download this app. Like the goal would be to have enough reach, because right now the app is on iOS. It's only on Apple right now.
See, yeah, that's what you, and I'm just like Clubhouse. Y'all need to get this on Android.
To Android. So I've already put it in with my app developer to put it on Android. So hopefully within this first quarter, there'll be beta testing for that, because I want the reach to be out there. I want the app to be so useful for those who are looking for ice. And they may need it for, you know, family reunions. You know, where do you find those little ice machines that are in parking lots? I want it to be very useful. And then I have just, you know, I'm like several steps ahead. Like I want to have my own, you know, ice and supplements and things like that. Because, you know, if there is anemia or some other health things going on, I want people to enjoy what they enjoy, but I don't want them to ignore, you know, their iron levels. I don't want them to ignore if it's something that's.
So does that, so that makes them ignore their iron levels by eating the ice? Does it subdue the iron deficiency?
So eating the ice probably helps them feel better. I mean, it's like a stress reliever type thing, but it's a symptom of having low iron sometimes. Like the brat, she eats ice, loves ice, and she'll get it all the time. People know that about her. And they'll always say in the comments, "Hey, have you checked your iron levels? Hey, have you checked your iron levels?" She's like, "My iron is fine. I just love ice." So I want people to have awareness, but also I don't want them to be stigmatized like, "Oh, she has anemia. That's why she's eating it." No, it's just a chance. You really just enjoy ice. It's okay.
Man, because this is crazy. So like you need to get the brat as like a sponsor or like a person that
I follow her. You know, she hasn't posted about ice in a while. You know, she got some other things she's working on, but anytime she's ready, I'm down for that.
Yeah, you need like, so what is the, do you know like the other famous ice people? Like, is there a Mount Rushmore of like these are like ice
celebrities who
Ice celebrities, yeah.
So in, you know, kind of like stalking, you know, DeBrat.
Yeah. But you got to though. If you're doing
Eva
what you're doing.
Marcel, Remy Ma, they're on there. They're like, "Girl, that looks so good." You know, I kind of scroll through and people are, yes, the blue check people are like, yeah, love.
Wow.
Yes, love it.
I mean, have you thought about getting vanilla ice?
Someone just told me about that the other day.
No, I'm dead serious and doing like a little ice baby thing or something.
Someone
like,
you know, really just mentioned that the other day, and I was like, I mean, if he needs a little some work, I got him. I work with him.
Oh, what's crazy is, you know, he's like big on like HDTV or whatever, like doing like
home renovations.
Yes.
Yes. I was like, oh, okay.
I thought he had fell off. I was like, I thought it'd be like, you know, that'd be easy. I'd throw you a couple of dollars in a bucket of chicken, you'd be good.
Yeah, but if he wants to hang out with Get Good Ice, I'm down for that too.
So what is the next steps for Get Ice? What should people be looking forward to seeing from you all in 2021?
So coming up, we're going to be doing raffles. So in different regions, so we can get more engagement with those who are in, you know, the Northwest, West Coast, you know, East. So I can know what other locations are available. We have our merch. So here's my Get Good Ice up here, insulated, keep your stuff froze for a bit. So we're going to do the raffles with the merchandise. I want to get the app on Android, and also I want to expand it internationally. So there are people who've reached out. They're like, "Oh, we're in Nigeria, you know, is it over here?" And I'm like, "Not yet. not just yet."
Some countries, they might be like, "Do you just know where water is?"
Please give us information about something. Yes. And I want to also expand, you know, if people, you know, like, I want to find, you know, where ice is, you know, made and create, you know, just information about things. I want to provide the educational aspect of it too. Like, why is Sonic Ice textured the way it is? What's behind that? So the education piece, removing the stigma about those who eat it, the health aspects. I just want to have all of that information out there with the community. Of course, getting more users. And let's see, what else we got going on? Engaging with influencers more, getting the word out. We have YouTube, we have TikTok, Instagram.
I still ain't gotten to the TikTok. I think I'm too old for the TikTok. I just can't do it.
She'll do the TikTok.
Yeah, I was like, I can't do it. I tried. I was just like,
Delandra's got that.
Yeah, like, and I know I should be on there. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah. We also want to partner with bartenders and mixologists, because they use ice for certain reasons too. So if you ever have certain drinks, you're like, why does this have this large cube in the whiskey? You know, so it's not melting as fast, so it's not as diluted. So you have that aspect. There are some drinks that use crushed ice, and it's for a reason, like your mojitos. Mm-hmm. Why is that done? And it helps kind of dilute the liquor that's in there, so the drink is more enjoyable. So there's reasons for that. So having, you know, maybe an IGTV series, working with certain mixologists, you know, learning about drinks, because, you know, my little sip is good, and how ice helps with that too. I just feel like there's a lot of ways to incorporate what people love, you know, this good ice, into other aspects, and just make sure that they're informed and that we're providing the information.
Man, that is awesome, man. Like I like I said, like this is a hole in the world, especially researching before that. I was like, wow, like this is like they got ice conventions.
We want to be there. We want to throw events and things like that. Yeah. Like, I want to travel to different places and say, hey, Get Good Ice is here with a partner that we know we're working with. I want to have sponsorships on the app where those who partner with us, their logo can be on the app prominent. Mm-hmm. So value there. Promoting, you know, mental health awareness and things like that. So just tying all of my stuff in there. Just being out, just showing people that there is a community. No need to have the stigma for it. Enjoy your ice. Keep yourself healthy.
Is there a stigma? I didn't think there was. Is there a stigma?
Well, yeah. So, you know, that person who's at the table, you know, crunching on ice the whole time, people are like, oh my God, that's so annoying.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
What's going on with you? And your iron must be low, or I bet you're cold all the time. Just some of those things where it's like, I want to just be able to enjoy it, you know, and there's nothing weird about it. And it can be considered weird for some. And then on the international level, looking at a lot of the ASMR videos, well, Jalandra looked a lot of the ASMR videos. They're in like Korea eating ice. I don't know why, but most of these videos, it's someone in Korea, some kind of sexualize it a little bit, but
okay. So ice can definitely be sexual.
She found that there's some, you know, oral fetish, you know, going on, but they're like crunching on ice hardcore over there. So it would be great to go have Get Good Ice, go to Korea, meet with some of these influencers and say, hey, what's going on? Like, they have different colors of ice. They're really into it.
Colors too? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, have you looked at some of the, like, what is it? Like the, you probably have, but like the, Wet Willies and like those type of spots that have like those frosted, you know, machines and all that stuff, like, mm-hmm. where somebody just might come in like, can I get alcoholic ice cubes?
Yeah. So I've been to a few places that have the shaved ice and they add flavor to it. So I just found another place called Vampire Penguin.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know about them. Yeah, it was in the Galleria Mall here. I went ice skating with my mom and I was like, let me see what this is about. And they have the shaved ice, but they add flavor to it. So they add, you know, like a little vanilla, a little chocolate, marshmallows and stuff. But the base is the shaved ice. And going in there and just kind of learning what other people are doing with it, how they're making it into desserts and stuff. I mean, it's kind of interesting to see.
All right, it's time for the time for my questions period. This or that. You said I try to make it just fun as possible.
Okay, I'm gonna answer.
Oh, all right, Cosby Show or Different World?
Cosby Show.
Why Cosby Show?
Because I felt I could relate to Rudy more because we're like around the same age. Mm-hmm. And I just really, and I laughed a lot at the different characters, like all the siblings. Like, I have two younger brothers, so just kind of seeing how they interacted with each other and things they got into, I enjoyed that. Different World, I just wasn't in the college world yet, so I was like, I don't know what they're doing.
Michael Jackson or Prince?
Ooh, depends on my mood, because Prince will get you there. Michael Jackson will have me jamming. So I don't know if I can decide.
You got to. That's the point. Is this or that?
Prince.
Okay. All right. Next up, Denzel Washington or Leonardo DiCaprio?
Okay. You're supposed to say Denzel Washington's son.
Hey, on the low, if anybody wants to check it out, you do see that trailer for the new with John David Washington and Zendaya in it.
Yes,
that looks good. Like, have you watched Euphoria?
Yeah,
that's the same director from Euphoria is doing that movie. Yes,
because Euphoria is on some stuff.
Yo,
like,
I had to hug my daughter after every episode I watched.
I'm like, what is happening? What are y'all doing here? I'm scared, but I'm interested, but I'm scared. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he directed that movie that's coming out.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad we have so many movies with us, you know, coming
yes.
out.
Yes. And it's in black and white and just two people, and it's a character piece. Like, I love that new film that just came out, Sylvie Love.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm a dude. Now I sat there and watched it on the Dolo. It was good.
Tug on your heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was a good movie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a good black love story.
And I like Tessa. Yes, yeah, she's really good. So let's see.
Denzel Washington or Leonardo DiCaprio?
So I'm going to say Denzel. Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street has me crying laughing every time. So yeah, Denzel for sure. That's the solid one. Leonardo in some movies, I'm like, I dig him. I don't think Denzel could have done that.
Okay, next up, this was question your blackness at the highest level, dependent on what you decide.
Okay.
Bad Boys or Uptown Saturday Night?
You know, I'm going to go with Uptown Saturday Night.
There you go.
Yeah, because in watching the Bad Boys, I get, but people throw out movie quotes and I'm like, I don't know. But Uptown Saturday Night, I think when I watched it, you know, being, you know, younger, kind of looking at those things, like, this is very interesting. This is not in my generation, but just it was very colorful.
It is. And Let's Do It Again as well is real good, too. And Piece of Action. They're series
right,
of
yeah.
films.
So, yeah, growing up with, you know, family members who show you some different things, like, okay, I can rock with this.
All right, so you're good to go. Your blackness is still in check. Yeah. Whitney and Janet Jackson.
Whitney Houston or Janet Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Whitney Houston, the vocals, definitely.
Next up, this is a pretty complicated one. The Wire or The Sopranos? And you look like you haven't seen either one.
No. I was like, from what I've heard, probably The Wire. Yeah, I really haven't seen either one.
This is not a problem. This is not a situation where you can guess. If you just pass.
Pass, because not a one episode.
Of either one?
Completely.
Of either one. Wow. Okay. All right.
I know, right?
The Price is Right.
I don't watch TV.
You don't? Okay. So that's fine. The Price is Right or Jeopardy?
Well, Price is Right, because when I stay with my grandma, I would watch that a lot more. And I like Plinko. And I also like the little yodel man that would go up. And I was like, I thought I knew how to guess prices really well because I like to buy stuff. So Price is Right, yeah, for the sentimental value.
Shout out to my boy Alec, who was on Price is Right right after college and went to the Showcase Showdown and won.
Really?
Won the whole thing.
I wanted to spin the big wheel.
He did all that.
In the big wheel. Yes.
And he's going to come on the podcast a few weeks because he has a crazy life, but he literally sold the car right back. He said he sold everything back he gave him because of the taxes. He like literally was like, just cut me a check.
See, I've heard about that. And yeah, I wanted to run down the aisle and all that kind of stuff and put $1 and win and spin the big wheel.
And that's what he did too. That's what he did I think he did Plinko too.
Classics, but that excited me. Jeopardy, I was like, I don't know these things.
See, I love Jeopardy. I'm a Jeopardy guy.
I'm like, I don't. And then
I still want to go on Jeopardy. I still want to go on there. Yeah,
I say go for it. We can do this.
Yeah, I'm trying to do Jeopardy.
Win this little money here. Show off our intelligence.
I'm trying to do Amazing Race too at one point as well.
Are you? No, that's not. I'll watch. I'll cheer you.
All right, this is a black 80s question here.
Okay.
Young and the Restless or All My Children?
All My Children.
Oh! Okay,
All My Children. Erica Kane, yes. All My Children. Loved it. I watched it like up until like just adulthood. I was always in that show, yes.
Okay, I was a Young and the Restless guy. I was a Young and the Restless guy. Victor Newman was my boy.
Really, the theme song kind of creeped me out, so I don't know.
So I was raised by my grandmother, man. So I would be sitting there at 3 o'clock, 3-4 o'clock. I knew it was coming on. Yeah.
You gotta watch your stories.
She got the digest all that. I mean, it was thick in there. I'm talking about that was one that like she literally had different VCRs record other shows that were going at the same time, so she could watch them later on. Like All My Children maybe come on at the same time as God and Light. So she would be watching God and Light, but recording All My Children in another room.
Wanted all the stories.
All the stories.
Oh no! We just had the one little TV.
Yeah, like so. Have you heard about the general? Is it General Hospital or St. Elsewhere? One of them where everything is based off of that show.
Mm-mm.
There's a if you Google it, it's a long thing of like how every TV show and movie comes from St. Elsewhere General Hospital. I forgot which one.
Really?
And then at the end of that show, the little boy just sees the globe. It's a shake-up globe, and he's watching all this happen. So they're saying that all this stuff is in this little autistic boy's mind.
That's kind of creepy.
It's like I'm talking about, there's hundreds of things that came
like
from
a conspiracy theory.
It's like a thing of like, yes, like a thing. Like when people just dissected, like this character end up being on something else, then they're connecting that to somebody.
And then at the end of that show,
the little boy sees, I believe it's General Hospital. Uh-huh. And at the end of the show, where it ends, it's a little boy looking at a snow globe.
Yeah.
And he's autistic. So everybody's saying like everything is in his mind.
That's some stuff.
I'm a soap opera person from when I was a kid.
I see that. I get caught up in a couple of shows every now and then. Like,
I was watching Passions back in the day in college.
Man, I love Passions. I don't know why.
I know you was like, I never knew that he was on.
Because it was weird. It had some other stuff going on. I like little like magical stuff going on.
Yeah, and
like,
a little man on there. I forgot his name. Like, a little guy on there.
Yes, I like that show. I like that show.
All right, now since we're gonna do Falcon's Crest or Knott's Landing or Dallas, I'm making a three for because they all and I believe Falcon's Crest and Knott's Landing are in the same world, right?
Yeah.
Like one of them is a spinoff of another one. I forgot which one.
I think so. I'm gonna go with Dallas because I know I watched it more.
Okay.
And Who by killed more, JR? Probably like 5 or 6 episodes, I remember. But yeah.
Who killed JR? JR now. That was like That's a big it. Deal.
Yes. South Fork or Little Ranch.
All right, Boys in the Hood or Menace to Society? New Jack City. I'll throw New Jack City in two. You get a three, you get a triple threat match.
Still Boys in the Hood.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna stick with that one.
Okay. What is the craziest villain in a movie that you've seen or a TV show where you like, man, like this person needs mental health?
Man. I look at some shows and I'm like, oh, that'd be such an interesting client. I mean, definitely like Bane.
Really? Oh, that's an interesting answer. Okay.
Yeah. He was complex to me, you know.
So what would you have diagnosed him at from just that the film? Like, was he a certain thing or he'd just be interesting to have in therapy?
He would be interesting to work with because he went through so much and like seeing the backstory, you know, he was trying to, you know, just be helpful and at first, and then he was like, look, I have this vision and this is how things need to go. Just how your ideals are shaped from what you experience. So if you've been oppressed, if you've been, you know, shunned from society and you get to a point like I have a little power right now, I'm gonna make this big change. Kind of like Thanos, like he had an idea, he thought he was doing something, but it just kind of went a little too far when there was a, you know, someone said with Thanos, like, why are you gonna get rid of half people when you could just double resources if you can snap your finger like that? But just to know how people's choices are affected by their past where other options aren't as reasonable and they could be. Yeah, so Bane was that complex character that stands out to me.
All right, last one, you went to comic books. That was my last question. Come up, Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Okay, why Batman?
Also, the complex background, the story, you know, Superman came
up. Like a lot of people that are psychopaths because Batman's a psychopath.
Batman got some stuff going on. I don't know.
Boys at the crib. Yeah, he will beat you up and don't kill you, but he'll break all your bones. And you, but don't kill you.
Yeah, he's got boundaries. That's
you call that. He's got boundaries.
He's got boundaries. has a moral code. His father, yeah, I can depend on Batman.
You can depend on Batman. Wow. I mean, he's a psychopath. Well, Marshall, thank you for coming on Mike Checker. Let everybody know everywhere in the socials where they can download, where they can check you all out on the on IG, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Got you. So, Get Good Ice across all platforms. So, you changed it? Oh, so it's on the Instagram?
This is live podcasting. Does it say would you find that information live?
Marketing manager said that it is now Get Good Ice LLC for Instagram.
Okay.
And for TikTok too? Get Good Ice Instagram.
Yes.
Get Good Ice LLC for YouTube and TikTok.
Okay.
Facebook.
Get Good Ice Facebook. GetGoodIce.com, just the regular website.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Okay.
They can download it from the App Store because it's only on the App Store right now. But Android is coming soon. We're in development right now. I sent my money over, so they work.
Do you have a Clubhouse or anything like that you want to plug? That's the new thing that everybody's...
No, not ready for Clubhouse yet, but I'm working on it. Baby steps, because that's... I worry about that. So that's for Get Good Ice. And then for those who are looking for mental health services in Texas, Accedence Counseling. So Accedence Counseling.com. And you can find me there. And it's also Accedence Counseling on Instagram.
Man, this has been awesome, man. This has been awesome. Like, this is, people are going to really love this episode. Get Good Ice.
Get Good Ice.
And quit hating on people showing on ice somewhere.
Right. You know, we're trying to live out here and be cold and warm at the same time. It's a whole struggle.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
Bye.